Hello and welcome again to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sense to One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asak of Asak Real Estate, Danielle Rocco of Echo 6 Ranch, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. I'm starting up this episode and, it's actually the day is Halloween that recording this, and my guest is dressed appropriately for Halloween. He's already going to be some kind of mythical being or beast or something. What's your favorite candy?
Tie between Reese's peanut butter cups and Heath bars.
This is a classic here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to
Yeah.
introduce my next guest. We're talking about Christmas with Rick Dungy of the Christmas Spirit Foundation, Oscar Mike Radio, recording on Halloween. Rick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. So, it's December. It's Christmas time coming up. It's Christmas time in the city. But we're talking on Halloween about Christmas trees for bases, so on and so forth, and what you all do. So this is all good stuff. I love this time of year. But Rick, why don't you talk about what and who the Christmas Spirit Foundation and how you all serve in this capacity, please?
Yeah, so the Christmas Spirit Foundation was created in way back in 2005, and it was created as a C3 charity by some of the members of the National Christmas Tree Association. So farmers who grew Christmas trees
There's an
decided,
association. Oh, wow. Okay.
so they decided that as there was some things that a charity could do that a membership association can't, that would be good, that would do good in the world. And they had a mission. We wanted to, the mission of the foundation is to improve Christmas spirit. Now that's pretty nebulous, right? That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and that's okay. The general thinking was if you increased Christmas spirit, whatever that means to people, there would be more people inclined to buy a real farm-grown Christmas tree. So that was sort of the generalized thinking. That was way back in 2005. And one of the first things that the foundation thought about doing was I was around back then, and we knew that there were tree farms near military bases that were already take they would take some trees from their farm and take them to the base and say, here, we grew these on our farm. We would like some families here stationed here to have a Christmas tree from our farm. So the idea wasn't new, giving Christmas trees to men and women and families serving in our armed forces. But we thought, what if we could do this on a big scale, on a national scale? Could we take trees from farms not near a base, get them, and then take them to bases not near a tree farm? And we just got lucky, and at the same time, we had some coordination with FedEx. They said, we like your mission. Is there anything we can help you with? And so we pitched them this crazy idea we thought was crazy at the time. This was in September, keep in mind, of 2005. And that first year, we managed to actually gather together 4,300 trees and took them to five different bases. And somehow it caught on. I mean, within a very short period of time, we had bases calling us and saying, well, we'd like some Christmas trees too. That's a great idea. And we had farms all over the country saying, we'd like to donate some trees too. This is a great idea. And so now we are entering our 21st year. In the 20 years that we've been doing this program, we have given away more than 326,000 Christmas
What?
trees to military bases all over the world. Yeah.
So you're gonna hit a half mil here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So this is kind of relevant to me because back in my Marine Corps days, I'm serving out of Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, Arizona, and
Yuma,
surprisingly, I mean, it may or may not surprise you, but there's not a lot of trees out in Yuma, Rick. And it would have been nice to have a Christmas tree in our barracks to kind of bring it all back home. How cool is that? How do you get the trees together and then work with FedEx to get them shipped out? It's not like going down to Walmart and picking up a couple trees, right?
No, the logistics are quite a challenge, and I'll just tell you my quick little anecdote joke real quick off the top is, so the program lasts 2 weeks, and I'm often asked, "Well, gee, Rick, what do you do the other 50 weeks out of the year?" And the answer is it takes all year long to plan this, and the reason is because during that 2 weeks, here's what has to happen. I think we're going to get just over 17,000 total trees this year in the program. Those come from more than 300 different farms across 26 different states. They have to all be gathered together in 57 specific farms and garden center locations around the country. FedEx goes on a designated day, starting the Monday after Thanksgiving, picks up all 17,000 of those trees, and they end up in 94 different bases this year across the US, and that all has to happen in a 10-day period.
To have you say it so matter-of-factly, I mean, it's peak Christmas season, peak travel season. FedEx is flat out. I can't get Amazon to deliver a USB cable on time, and you have 10 days to get that many trees to that many bases across this country, which is a big country.
Yeah, so the answer to your initial question, how does this all happen? It takes a lot of coordination. And we start basically in March and April, is when we have our initial planning meetings with the FedEx team. And we talk about the scale and the scope, how many deliveries do they think they can make? And then all summer long, I talk to a lot of the tree farms. I go to state Christmas tree meetings in the summertime, talk to farmers, and ask them, how many trees do you think we're going to get this year? And, based on those two inputs, how many deliveries FedEx can make, how many trees do I think we're going to get? That tells us the scale and the scope that we think we can do that year. And then in the summertime, I have contacts at each of the different branches of the military, and I contact them and say, I think we can bring trees to X number of bases, X number of Army, X number of Navy stations, and so on and so forth. And then they provide to us in the summertime. This is probably one of the questions you were going to ask me, is how do we decide where to take the trees each year? And the different branches of service tell us, based on the scale and the scope, I think we could do, here's where we'd like trees delivered this year. And that all is usually wrapped up by September 1. So usually by early September, right, we shoot for Labor Day, we know where we're going to take trees that year. And one of the things we've been able to do in the past few years is there actually are a lot of bases that are close to each other, that are close enough that if they can, they actually will share one delivery of trees, and then move some trees around to a base close to each other so that two different bases can hand out trees, although we only have to make one delivery. And that helps us spread it out even more because, I can't make FedEx make 300 deliveries. They're actually going to make 78 this year. But those are then going to be, some of them are going to spread them out and do their own, move some trees around on their own. So that's how we get the 94 total bases are going to end up with donated trees to hand out to their personnel there.
So Rick, of all the things one can do in life, how did you get involved with this organization, the Christmas Spirit Foundation?
Well, actually, I was actually on the staff of the National Christmas Tree Association. I started working for them in 1998, pre-2000. So I was around when the foundation was created, and helped get the concepts and the ideas together. I mean, I basically I'm a PR guy, right? I put out information. I'm a decent writer and a good talker. So I helped present the concepts and start talking about it and talk about it to the growers, talk about it to the general public. And it really just sort of became, once this thing started growing and morphing into this great cause, and we had to figure out new ways to get even more. Every year people would call us and say, "This is a great idea. How do I get involved?" And next year more people would call and say, "This is a great idea. How do I get involved?" And so we had to keep growing it and coming up with new ways for more people to get involved. And I'll tell you some great stories about how that happens. But
Sure.
so basically, I was working for the Christmas tree growers when they created the foundation and helped fashion the stories that it would tell and talk about this program and what it does each year since it started in 2005.
You do all this and it's getting bigger. I guess my next question would be is how do you scale up? You have your set suppliers to provide the trees, and then they're shipped and they're delivered, say if a couple bases, and some bases are smaller than others. Some bases are like their own small municipalities. How's that all figured into how you all do this?
It's you're right. There's a wide range. I mean, some of the naval stations are really small. Some of those Coast Guard sectors are really small. We take a few. I think this year our smallest one is going to be 30 trees to one location. But then at the other end of the scale, you got Camp Pendleton. You're probably familiar with.
Yeah, been there
There's
myself.
like what 40,000 people that live there. It's
Yeah.
crazy. And they're going to get like 1,600 trees from us this year. So you got a wide range and everything in between. On average, it's usually around 150 to 200. Some of the army garrisons are pretty big as well. But that's good. We don't ask the branches of service to provide a specific size. Variety, in my opinion, is good. How we get all of the trees, and I'll tell you, we get a wide variety of trees. So the only
Wait. So
requirement,
educate me here, Rick.
okay.
Me being me, just being a dude, I thought Christmas trees are just the same across the board. They're not. There's different types.
Oh yeah, there's more than probably two dozen different species of
What?
trees grown as Christmas trees in throughout North America. Yeah.
So what, how do the types differ, I guess?
Just the same way that all plants can differ. So the shape of the needle, the length of the needle, the stiffness of the branch and the foliage, color. You can see a wide variety of coloration. Some can be sort of silver, blue, dark green, light green. I mean, you can get a pretty wide variety and variation in the plant itself in all the different species of conifers that are grown as Christmas trees.
Out. I'm just learning a whole bunch of new stuff in a short amount of time. Okay.
Yeah. And we get a wide variety of those. The only requirement we ask of the donors of the trees is that they be between 5 and 7 foot tall.
Okay.
So we don't want any real big ones because a lot of these are going into base housing where you're not
Space is
going to
at a
find
premium.
higher than an 8 foot ceiling. So we don't want any real big trees. And plus they get heavy and we don't want them to be loading down when they get to a base. One of the challenges at a lot of the bases is, especially the bigger ones, if they're getting 400 or 500, 700 trees, they've got to have a crew schedule. They've got to have people out there to physically take them off the FedEx trailers and put them somewhere until they're ready to hand them out. And then they have to have a number of volunteers there to help hand them out, to help tie them onto people's cars. I've been to a lot of the bases where they actually hand out the trees, and many of them are quite efficient. Probably not surprisingly at how they do the distribution. So that's one of the challenges that we have is making sure the bases are prepared to actually handle hundreds of Christmas trees that are dropped off on their base and need to hand them out. So.
So this leads to an interesting, area I want to go into is, and this applies to the people getting the trees on bases and just people in general who buy Christmas trees. Can you share with us some best practices to keep your tree looking, smelling as nice as possible, as long as possible through the holiday season? You have to know, because I hear all kinds of
Yeah.
crazy stuff.
It's actually pretty simple. It's one of those KISS method kind of things.
Keep it simple, really simple.
I've been answering questions about Christmas trees for more than 20, almost 25, more than 25 years now. And I can remember way back, I'm talking when I first started working for the association, maybe as early as 1999. I had already been answering questions from consumers about things, how to care for the tree, and they would tell me things that they put in the tree stand with the tree's water. And I remember going to one of my first Christmas tree meetings, and I was talking to this grizzled old tree farmer, like prototypical, big burly guy, beard, flannel shirt, I mean the whole nine yards, right? Guy clearly probably been growing trees for more than 30 years. And he says to me at one point, I just don't make that just don't make sense to me. That tree spent 8 years out there in my field drinking nothing but rainwater. People get it in their home and think it suddenly needs a 7-Up. I never gave that tree any 7-Up the whole time it was growing. Why do they think that? And it was one of those, I'll never forget this. That's a true story because it just stuck with me. It's one of those, sort of slap your forehead, salt of the earth, duh, kind of a moment. Plain water is fine. That's all that the plant needs. Now, there is a key step if you can. You want to saw a thin disc off the bottom of the tree. It's the same reason that when you put, flowers into a vase of water, you want to take a pair of scissors and snip them. And the reason is that you're removing the plant tissue that inhibits the absorption of the water molecules. And that's air. Air is the, sometimes you hear people say they form a sap seal, and that's true to a small degree. But really, air is the enemy. When air gets into that plant tissue and it inhibits its ability to move water up through a system. So you saw a thin disc, and that cuts out that portion of the trunk. So it sort of reprimes it, and then it's able to absorb water for weeks and weeks and weeks. Plain tap water is fine.
No kidding. Okay. Because, yeah, I heard, you got to put cinnamon in or cloves or, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I don't know. I think the next question I have that really irritates some people is, cats love climbing these things. And there's all kinds of crazy contraptions to try to keep cats off the trees. Is that just a losing battle, Rick? Just let the cat play in the tree? Or what do you do?
I'm not a cat expert, so I'm a little reticent to give advice about how
No
to handle
problem.
house cats. One
I'm
thing
not a
I
cat
can
expert
tell,
either.
I have heard people say, this is not my advice, I'm just sort of sharing an anecdote. One of the things that you could do is get a species 1 year that has more sharp needles, more rigid needles. Like a blue spruce, that's a variety of tree that can be quite prickly. And if your cat tries to climb one of those, chances are they will not enjoy the experience and maybe won't do it again. Other than that, how do you keep cats off anything?
Well, I mean, when you figure that out, you're a made man, and let me know, and we'll have you back on.
I'm more of a dog person. I have a 130-pound bloodhound mix in my home, and our biggest trouble is him whacking things with his tail.
All right. The family gets that tree and puts it up, and it brings Christmas to that family who's could be thousands of miles away from home. One thing that comes to mind is you do this all in the United States. Do you ever? Have you ever been asked to ship overseas to overseas bases?
And we have before,
Oh, really?
prior to 2020. We did send a small number of trees to either forward deployed units or bases stationed overseas. The difficulty was that those had to travel by plane.
Oh,
If
wow.
they travel by plane, every single tree needs to be put individually into a box, so it ships as a parcel. That can be done. It's a difficult added extra logistical step. You have to have special machinery and special boxes. And also, when you're sending plant material to other places, many times it has to be inspected for insects, other kinds of pathogens. You don't want to introduce invasive species to ecosystems where they don't belong. And so you can send them by boat also, but to send them by boat, they have to be containerized. We haven't been sending trees outside the lower 48 since prior to 2020. I do not give up hope, however, because I do get asked every year. I've already gotten several requests. I've been asked to send trees to Hawaii, Guam, South Korea. There are some units stationed in parts of Africa. And even Alaska, I can't even send trees to Alaska at this point, but not giving up hope. But there have to be some logistical steps added that have to be overcome to do so.
Wow. How many people are involved in this organization? Is it, are you all the focal point, the hub to coordinate logistics, or do you have an entire nationwide team, coming together during this time to put this all together?
So the foundation has a voluntary board of trustees.
Okay.
There are 13 members of the board of trustees. That's who I take my orders from. Here in our office, the staff, we have about five different people that work on parts of the Christmas Spirit Foundation and the Trees for Troops program. So all of that then is, that's how it happened. We are the hub, so to speak. FedEx, I work with the operations team and the marketing team. There's like seven or eight people at FedEx that I work with throughout the year to make the program happen. Everything else is all volunteers, and I'd like to sort of branch off of, no pun intended, to a topic similar to
Sure.
that. And get, I mentioned earlier how whole communities get involved. In a common way that happens is when a farm or a garden center steps up and says, I want to be a pickup location. I want to gather together donated trees and have FedEx come and get them. Many of them make that almost like an all-day event where they get their whole community involved. There's a farm up in Michigan that where she has more than 100 volunteers come out and help them load trees on the day that they load. And we're talking VFW. Sometimes they get reservists or guardsmen to come in and help. They get their bank involved. They get their local schools involved. They get Boy Scouts involved. They get firefighters involved. All of a sudden, the whole entire community comes out, and they actually become the volunteer crew that loads like 450 trees, I think they load,
Wow.
into the FedEx trailers on the specific day that they do so. And it takes them like a half a day to get it all loaded. The other thing I want to make sure and mention is, one of the other things that we do is we have a special tag that we have produced. It's made out of a material similar to like Tyvek. It has to be waterproof and weatherproof, right? It's like 4 by 6, 4 inches by 6 inches. And every single one of those tree that's donated gets one of those tags attached to it with a zip tie. But before it does, somebody takes the time to write a personal message in a blank space on that tag with a Sharpie, so that when the tree is ultimately received by somebody at a base, one of the things that's also attached to the tree is a tag that has a personalized message. And it could be something generic, like just thank you for your service, thank you for keeping us safe. To sometimes it gets really personal, like a in honor of or in
Oh, wow.
memory of. The point is, seeing that, I think, lets the people getting the tree realize, man, there's a lot of people involved in this. Somebody took the time to write a personal note before they sent this tree to our base. And it lets them feel like even more so that people are thinking about them, that people support them, that people want to make sure they have a little Christmas spirit. I just think it really adds meaning and value to the gift of the tree itself, and really helps reinforce that ultimately what we're doing is improving Christmas spirit for people, quite frankly, who really deserve it. And I'll pull on more of your heartstrings here. We get anecdotes and feedback
I was going to
every
ask
year.
about
Last
that.
year, I got an email from a guy, and he said, I was in the Navy for 30 years. My daughter now is active duty. This is her first Christmas ever away from home. She texted me a picture of the tree that she got from your program and said, I feel a little less homesick now, Dad.
Oh.
Now that's 2 generations of Americans brave enough to serve in our armed forces that we had a positive impact on. I got an email from a woman stationed at Camp Pendleton. We mentioned Camp Pendleton, and she said, my husband was deployed. This is our first Christmas where he's not going to be with his kids. We weren't even in the mood for Christmas, her note said. We weren't even going to celebrate. We weren't even going to decorate. But then I got the memo about the Trees for Troops thing, and we decided to go down and get a tree. And now my kids are smiling. We're decorating. We're going to send pictures to dad. When you get feedback like that, you know that you're having a positive impact. You know that you made a difference in somebody's lives. And it's okay, it's only 16 or 17,000 per year. But that adds up, and that it is making a difference for the folks involved. Yeah, it's a lot of work. We're talking about how it takes all year long to plan this program, and during the 2 weeks it happens, it's sort of controlled chaos, I guess would be the best way to describe it. But I also describe it as a labor of love, and that's because I know that it has a positive impact. Our mission, like I said, is to improve Christmas spirit, and I know we achieve that mission with this program because people tell us that it does, that it helps improve their Christmas spirit for people who really deserve it.
You talk about helping people through this time and Christmas and being far away from family. How can people, watching this show, listening to this show, help you all out as they learn about the Christmas Spirit Foundation?
Selfishly, I'll say up front, as a C3 charity, we are funded entirely by individual donations and some sponsorships. So donating some money always helps us keep the program going and to try to make it bigger and better every year. Treesfortroops.org, is our website, treesfortroops.org. There's a big donate button right on there, so you can make a donation right online. But also you can get involved in one of the pickup locations around the country. There's 57 of them, like I said, and even some within some of the states where there are a lot of tree farms, even the ones who are not a pickup location often make sure that their communities get involved in increasing the amount of trees that they donate, even if they're sending their trees up to a different farm where FedEx is going to go to get them. So it really sort of spreads out. You can donate trees through one of those. I don't have any control over how that's done. Many of them just simply take a straight flat amount for trees, and they so we get trees. How we get to 17,000, many of those trees are donated directly by the tree farmers, but a lot of them are also donated by their customers or by local businesses. So the farm will go to their bank and say, "You know what? I've been a bank customer of yours for a long time. Write me a check to add more trees." Or they'll go to their car dealer and say, "I bought five pickup trucks from you. Write me a check so that I can add some more trees on the truck." And individual customers can come on to their farm or their garden center and make and donate a tree. That's how we get to that high total. So that's one of the great. Follow us on social. We do a lot to make sure that we engage with as many people as possible on our socials. That we're pretty easy to find. Just search for Trees for Troops. And I share a lot of these stories that we get. And we don't have a lot of followers, but we have really super engaged followers. Our
There you go.
followers are typically, spouse support, military spouse support
Yeah.
groups, and parents of people who parents whose kids are in active duty right now. Those are the kind of people that follow us. And Mike, I'm often fond of saying that ultimately I'm in the storytelling business. Because the more of these stories I can share and let people know that we're making a difference, that we're having a positive impact, the more engaged people become. And that's how we end up getting people, "Oh my gosh, that's great. I'm going to donate $50. That's a good cause."
Awesome.
So I'm really in the storytelling business, and we try to do as much of that through our socials and keep people engaged that way as possible.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, for a lot of us, I was away from home for a couple Christmases, and it was a hard adjustment. And anything that can happen to bring Christmas to those who are serving and are away from home, missing family and friends, is just, you can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah,
Folks,
you mentioned you were at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma. They
yeah.
do get trees. They're one of the places we do take trees.
No kidding. That
Yeah.
makes sense. Awesome. Again, folks, I will have all the links to Trees for Troops, the Christmas Spirit Foundation, their socials, in the Oscar Mike Radio show post. Rick, as you go into the end of this year and you're festive for Halloween, and it's Halloween today, are you getting ready to hand out candy to anybody tonight, or are you just going to, keep it quiet?
Oh no, Yeah, Martha and I do. We just love to have fun. We try to stay young at heart that way, I
There
guess
you
you
go.
could say. We even put on costumes, so I'm hoping to get home a little early today so we can carve a couple more jack-o'-lanterns. Of course, we got to keep the hound dog inside because we don't want to scare people off too bad. So, no, we have fun with it. We like to put on costumes and hang out on our front porch and have the groups walk by and just have fun with it. We try to have fun with every holiday. We decorate a lot for every holiday.
That's fantastic. Well, Rick, I want to again thank you for coming on and sharing with me. I mean, things like this, help people out so much, and we want to make sure that the word gets out there and people can help you all. I just appreciate your time, and I hope you have a very safe and happy holidays.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Give me a call anytime to help out. I appreciate the time to let me tell some stories. So happy holiday. Happy Halloween to you and Merry Christmas coming up.
Absolutely, absolutely. There you have it, folks. We will see you next time. We are Oscar Mike Radio, and we are Mission in Flight. Thank you.
The biggest fear Goldstrap families have that their child will be forgotten.
We need to never forget freedom wasn't free.
It's the fact that they give us the life we have now. We should remember them and give thanks to them.
If I can be a part of something today that's going to make the surviving family of any of these veterans, these heroes, feel better tomorrow, then it's worth it.
That one wreath symbolizes one family that was able to smile because of the generous donations.
To sponsor a wreath and honor a veteran, visit wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.